The inspiration for this address came from this book, The Wisdom of Forgiveness. It's a lovely book, and it's based on conversations between the Dalai Lama and a journalist called Victor Chan. I always think there's something very appealing about the physical appearance of the Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama could never be described as being conventionally handsome, but he stands out from the crowd not on account of his distinctive dress, but also because of his beaming smile, the laughter lines around his eyes, and his frequent bursts of belly laughter. In Ireland, we have a great expression to describe somebody with a dour disposition. We say the person has a face on him like a plateful of mortal sins. And I just love that. And the Dalai Lama is the exact opposite. His natural disposition is joyful. Experts in the science of reading body language have studied the Dalai Lama and they confirm that this appearance of joy is authentic. They say when he is sad, he is totally sad. When he is joyful, he is totally joyful. And there are other world leaders who have this serenity of countenance. Nelson Mandela, Desmond Tutu, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr. are some of the names that come to mind. These individuals have more in common than just their serene expression. Each of them has experienced living under a system of oppression. Each one of them has dedicated themselves to ensure the betterment of their community. Each one of them has experienced physical harm at the hands of their oppressors. Each one of them has witnessed at first hand the suffering inflicted on their communities. And despite witnessing at first hand the suffering, each of them has found within themselves the capacity to forgive the perpetrators of that violence. These individuals walked the path of nonviolence and forgiveness. And with the exception of Gandhi, each one of them won the Nobel Prize for Peace. No two of them belong to exactly the same faith tradition. Between them, we have between the five individuals, they represent two different Christian denominations, the native religion of South Africa, the Hindu and the Buddhist traditions. Each of them found inspiration for forgiveness in their religious practice. Images of the divine are different between faiths. Beliefs about what happens to us when we die differ. But each one of those faiths has the central teaching that forgiveness is an essential part of every spiritual path. In the Christian tradition, we are told that as Jesus was being nailed to the cross, he asked forgiveness for his executioners. Forgiveness is not an optional extra for anyone living a spiritual life. And when we think of how Jesus forgave those who were nailing him to the cross, we contrast that with this so often quote from the Bible, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It's used to justify so much violence. There is no sidestepping the fact that forgiveness is difficult. Individuals who are able to forgive wholeheartedly are exceptional. But they have a sense of serenity around them, and they also have a sense of childlike fun and joy. Think of how Desmond Tutu would giggle like a little girl. And both he and Mandela danced with the abandonment of children. These are some important points. Firstly, forgiveness is essential. Secondly, forgiveness is difficult. Thirdly, and most importantly, we have to remember that when we forgive someone, we're not letting somebody off the hook for their misdeed. When we forgive, we are gifting ourselves the freedom to be joyful. And that's very hard to get into our heads. That last point is vital. When I forgive, I free myself. And of course, no one is perfect, so we all need forgiveness. Today is the second day of the new year. It's a time for New Year's resolutions. And we resolve that this year we will do X or Y differently. Often what we resolve to change about ourselves means adding something to our already busy lives. This year I will learn a new skill. I will go to the gym. I walk every day. A different approach might be that this year we resolve simply to simplify our lives. Don't add things on, take things out of it. I use less fossil fuels, use fewer chemicals in the garden. I won't mow the grass as often. No, let's leave things out of our lives. Take time. To lighten our burdens and to have a joyful new year, the heaviest burden we can jettison is the burden of anger and bruised feelings. That would lighten our load. Getting rid of hurt and anger is the surest way to find joy. Being hurt by another person is part of life. And of course, we have to realize that we have hurt others. And we are capable of inflicting great pain on one another. So we all have to forgive. Desmond Tutu said, "If you want peace, you don't talk to your friends, you talk to your enemies." How often when we're feeling that hurt, do we find ourselves going to our friend to confide our hurt at what X or Y did to us? We need to talk to the enemy. Some or even most of our pain of hurt is self-inflicted. Because whatever hurt or loss we have experienced in the past, when we hold on to the past, we're reliving the pain. But something happened in the past, it is finished. It now has no life. But when we hold on to it, we relive the experience, we poke the wound, and we reignite the hurt and give new life to the pain. The past has no reality. Memories don't exist. It's our flawed thinking that gives existence to much of the pain we now experience. Because we take out memories and we give them life. Memories don't have an existence except when we positively give it to them. Letting go of emotional hurt is not easy. But holding on to it imprisons us. And we are our own jailers. We lock ourselves away from happiness. The individual who caused that pain is oblivious to our present suffering. They are happily going about our life, totally oblivious. Letting go of the hurt is likely to be a long project. We have to forgive, and it may be that we do it little by little and practice over and over again. And if we are really angry with somebody and we really dislike them, and even stronger, maybe hate them, we can suddenly get up one night and say, I love so-and-so now, and really mean it. There have to be steps along the way. And one of the first, I suppose, is to realize that holding on to the hurt harms us. That's the first step on the journey, realizing, do you know who's suffering here? I am. And we can't go from disliking someone in an instant just by our willpower. So the early stage of the process might be just trying to think of them in neutral terms. And a good first step is to try to cultivate compassion for all people in the world and gradually include the person you feel so angry with. As the fire of our dislike cools, we can begin to see the other person as someone who, just like us, is suffering. The First Noble Truth, as they call it, of the Buddhist tradition, says that suffering exists. And we know it exists. But sometimes we think that we are the only one suffering. But the person who has hurt us is also suffering, just like us. And knowing that they are suffering may help us to feel compassion for them. And with the practice of compassion, if we persist, we may move on to forgiveness. And we have to realize, too, that those people that we, you know, like Mandela and Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama, who are so noted for their compassion for everybody, it didn't come easy to them either. In the book, The Wisdom of Forgiveness, the Dalai Lama spoke in detail about how he cultivates compassion for the people who took control of his country and who are trying to systematically destroy Tibetan culture. And this is what he said. Every day I visualize positive emotions like happiness and affection for others. Then I visualize their suffering and their negative emotions. And I pay particular attention to the Chinese, especially those who are doing terrible things to Tibetans. And I meditate. I breathe in all their poisons, hatred, and cruelty. Then I breathe out and I let all the good things come out. Things like compassion and forgiveness. I take into my body the bad things and replace these poisons with fresh air and compassion. I take care not to blame. I don't blame the Chinese and I don't blame myself. I do this every day. The Dalai Lama has done this every day since 1948-49, when he moved into exile to live in India. That's more than 70 years, every day. So we know it's not just us that finds forgiveness difficult. It's not easy to forgive, but if we don't forgive, we risk becoming what we hate. Today we stand on the threshold of a new year, a new day, a new moment. And each moment presents us with a choice. We can live this moment with compassion and joy, or we can fill it with dislike and hatred. That's our choice. and we make it moment by moment. So this will be a happy new year if we fill the moments of this year with happiness, compassion. The choice is ours. And it's not something we need to do on New Year's Day or the 2nd of January or the 1st of February. We have to do it moment by moment. But we can. We can ensure a happy new year if we make it so. And I hope that this will be the happiest of New Years for everyone. Amen.